Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. We're really diving into cybersecurity today. We've got this document here. It's got all these core principles of information security, and get this, you were curious about how it all connects to real-world business goals. And well, that's what we're going to dig into today. So let's get to it.
It's really about building a security framework that not only protects but also helps an organization thrive.
Okay, so this document, like, right away, it jumps into ethics. It highlights the, the ISC Code of Professional Ethics, which I guess is like a really big deal if you're a CISSP anywhere in the world. Honestly, I tried memorizing those principles and, man, it's a mouthful. Protect, act, provide, advance. I had to make a mnemonic. PMA? Did you ever have to memorize anything like that?
Well, a good mnemonic always helps, but you're right. Ethics are fundamental to cybersecurity. It's not just about, you know, memorizing a bunch of rules. It's about recognizing that security is really about people, you know? It's about values and trust and making decisions that, well, that consider the human element.
Hmm. So we're not just talking about firewalls and algorithms and all that.
Oh, those tools are important, definitely. But ultimately, it's people behind those tools, and they need to be making ethical decisions. Think about it. When an organization has a strong ethical core, it not only creates a better, more trusting workplace, but it also builds a good reputation, which attracts investors and resonates with the community. Ethical behavior, it really has a ripple effect.
Yeah, it's like when I'm deciding which company to do business with,
yeah.
If they have a reputation for like being shady with data or cutting corners, I'm not going to trust them with my information.
Yeah.
And I definitely wouldn't want to work for them.
Exactly. Ethics really impact every single part of an organization, inside and out.
I'm already seeing cybersecurity in a whole new light, and we're just getting started. So I've got this ethical foundation, but what about the practical side of things?
The document keeps talking about security being tied to business goals, and I think that's really interesting. There's this one phrase, facilitate the organization's goals and objectives. It's like they're saying security isn't just about locking things down, but actually giving the organization the freedom to, you know, function and thrive. How do those two ideas work together?
That's a really important point. You can't have effective security if it's completely separate from everything else. It has to line up with the goals of the organization. Think of it like a partnership, you know. Security works best when it's helping a company achieve what it's trying to do, not holding it back.
So instead of being a roadblock, it's more like security is paving the road to success. That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. It's all about finding those security solutions that support the organization's goals instead of limiting them, which is something that often gets missed. Okay, speaking of things that get missed, this document mentions something called the CIA triad. And I have to admit, when I first saw that, I immediately thought, like, Jason Bourne in Secret Missions.
It's a common reaction. But in cybersecurity, CIA has a totally different meaning. It stands for confidentiality, integrity, and availability. And this triad is, well, it's essential. It's basically the foundation of information security.
So break it down for us. What do these terms actually mean in the real world, and how do they work together?
Great question. So confidentiality, it's all about protecting sensitive information and making sure unauthorized people can't access it. You know, things like preventing data breaches and leaks. Imagine it like the lock on your front door. Only people with a key can get in. Then there's integrity, which is about making sure that the information is accurate and trustworthy, that it hasn't been tampered with. Think of it like, let's say, a contract. You need to be sure that nobody has changed the terms without your knowledge. And finally, availability. This one ensures that people who are authorized to access the information can actually get to it when they need to. It's about keeping the systems up and running. Imagine if you needed to access your online bank account, but the website was down. That's an issue with availability.
So it's like a three-legged stool. You need all three of them to have a secure and stable system.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
You know, there's actually a helpful way to remember what happens when these principles are compromised. The DEADY triad. It may sound a little weird, but it highlights the opposite of each element.
DEADY triad. Okay, now I have to know more.
So it stands for disclosure, alteration, and destruction. And each one directly opposes its counterpart in the CIA triad. So you've got disclosure, which is the opposite of confidentiality. Then there's alteration, which undermines integrity, and then destruction, which obviously impacts availability.
Wow, that's actually really useful, like looking at both sides of a coin. So we've got the CIA triad, the foundation for security. But you're telling me there's more.
There's always more. This document goes even further. It introduces two more super important concepts, authenticity and non-repudiation. These really build upon the CIA triad, adding another whole layer of complexity and security.
Okay, those are two terms that I don't think I could confidently explain. Could you give us a quick breakdown?
Absolutely. So authenticity is all about verification. It's about making sure that something is really what it claims to be. Like verifying the sender of an email so you know it's not a phishing attempt. Non-repudiation, on the other hand, that's about accountability. It means that you can't deny taking a specific action. Think about things like digital signatures, those audit trails. Those are like digital footprints.
Okay, I think I'm starting to see how this all connects, but can you give me like a real-world example? That always helps me understand things better.
Sure. Let's imagine you need to send a confidential document to a colleague. You'd probably use a secure email service that requires you to verify your identity, right? That's authentication at work. Then let's say your colleague has to electronically sign that document to show they approve. That's where non-repudiation comes in. Their digital signature is proof that they, and only they, signed the document.
So they can't come back later and say, nope, wasn't me, because their signature is right there.
Precisely. It eliminates any doubt or denial, ensures accountability, which is really important when you're dealing with sensitive information.
This is all starting to make a lot more sense now. We've got the ethics part, then the CIA triad, and then authenticity and non-repudiation on top of that. But I'm wondering, how does all of this translate into actual, like, real-world security measures? That's what I'm really curious about.
That's where the document gets into AAA services and protection mechanisms.
AAA services, is that like some kind of like even more intense version of the CIA triad?
Not exactly, but it is about managing access, kind of like what we were just talking about.
Okay, so tell me more about these AAA services. What's the deal with them?
Well, it stands for Identification, Authentication, Authorization, Auditing, and Accounting. It's about controlling who has access to what.
5 A's. Got it. So how does all that work in practice?
You can think of them as the gatekeepers and record keepers for your systems and information. Identification is like when you show your ID at, say, a security checkpoint.
Right, like proving you are who you say you are.
Exactly. And then authentication is proving that you really are who that ID says you are. It's like, remember that email example we talked about earlier? So then authorization kicks in, deciding what you can access once you're in.
Not just letting you in the door, but also deciding which rooms you can go into.
Yeah, exactly. And we need a way to keep track of all of that, right?
Like a record of who came and went and when.
Exactly. That's where auditing and accounting come in. Auditing is like keeping an eye on things, seeing who did what. And accounting is like keeping a log, you know?
Yeah.
A digital trail to keep everyone accountable.
Okay, that makes sense. So we've covered who can access information. But what about how to protect the data itself?
That's where those protection mechanisms we mentioned come into play. And there's this super important concept here. It's called defense in depth.
Defense in depth. Sounds intense.
It's actually pretty straightforward. It just means you shouldn't rely on just one security measure. Like, you want multiple layers of protection, right? Overlapping defenses, so to speak, that make it way harder for attackers to get through.
So instead of just a door, you want a door and a lock. And maybe a security system.
Exactly. Multiple layers working together are always going to be stronger than just one, no matter how strong that one layer might seem.
Speaking of layers, there was this term in the document kind of jumped out at me. Security through obscurity. It sounds a little, I don't know, sneaky.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It can be controversial. Basically, the idea is that if your systems or your data are harder to find, then you're less likely to be targeted. Like, attackers are going to go for the easier targets, right?
So the harder you are to find, the less likely you are to be attacked. That makes sense, in a way.
Yeah, but and this is really important. You should never rely solely on obscurity. Think of it more like camouflage. It's about making it a bit tougher for the attacker, but it's not foolproof. If they find you, you better be ready.
So more of a delaying tactic to buy you time while you activate your real defenses.
Exactly. And a perfect example of this is how Amazon Web Services handles the locations of their data centers. They're very open about having data centers all over the place, but the exact locations, they keep those pretty secret.
So you know they're out there, but good luck finding them.
Exactly. It introduces uncertainty, which can deter some attackers. But as we said, it's just one piece of the puzzle. You need those other layers in place.
So as we start to, you know, wrap our heads around all this cybersecurity stuff, what are the big takeaways? What are the aha moments for our listeners?
Well, I think we really hammered home the importance of ethics first and foremost. It's not just about tech. It's about people and values and making responsible decisions. Can't forget that.
Right, like having a strong ethical foundation to build on.
Exactly. And then we dug into the CIA triad: confidentiality, integrity, and availability. And the big thing there is balance. You need all three of those elements working together.
Like a three-legged stool.
Yeah, exactly. And then we got into the practical stuff, the AAA services and protection mechanisms. And the key takeaway there is that layered approach to security, that defense in depth. You don't want just one lock on the door.
It's been amazing, and I feel like we've only just scratched the surface.
No, absolutely. There's always more to learn about cybersecurity. It's a constantly evolving field.
So before we go, I have one last question for you. With all this talk about defense in depth, do you think that just having a really complicated password, you know, the kind with a million special characters, is really enough to keep you safe online?
That's such a good question, and unfortunately, there's no easy answer. But what I will say is that security is not about finding one magic solution, right? It's about being proactive, taking multiple steps to protect yourself. A strong password is great, but it's just one step.
It's a process, not a destination.
Exactly. And the threats are always changing. But the good news is that by understanding these basic concepts we've talked about today, you're already ahead of the game.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, looks like we've covered a lot of ground today. Thanks to everyone for joining us for this deep dive. And a huge thank you to you for guiding us through this complex world.
It's been my pleasure. Always happy to chat about cybersecurity.
Until next time, everyone, stay curious, stay informed, and stay secure.
It really is fascinating how much goes into, like, all those layers of security you were talking about. It's like building a digital fortress.
It's a good analogy. And each layer has its own role to play.
Right, like that AWS example, hiding those data center locations. It makes you wonder, what happens if, even with all that, an attacker still manages to get through? What's the next line of defense?
That's where those protection mechanisms really come into play. Remember we touched on those earlier. They act like the walls and the guards of our fortress.
Right, the ones you said get really interesting. I'm ready to hear more. Well, picture this. An attacker is trying to get into a system. We've made it harder by obscuring the target, but they've found a way in. Maybe there's a vulnerability or they're using social engineering, something like that. That's when firewalls come in.
The firewall. Like a security checkpoint.
Exactly. It carefully checks all the network traffic, both incoming and outgoing, only lets through what's supposed to be there.
So if someone's trying to get into the system, the firewall's the first line of defense.
Exactly. But let's say this attacker is really good, really determined, and they manage to get past the firewall. What then? We need another layer of protection ready to go.
Okay, I'm really picturing a castle siege now. What do we have?
Well, in cybersecurity, instead of archers and moats, we have intrusion detection and prevention systems.
Intrusion detection. So these are like the guards patrolling the walls.
Precisely. Always watching for anything suspicious, any sign of an intruder. And that's the beauty of having these multiple layers, right? Even if one of them fails, you've got others backing it up.
It's all about creating a system that is resilient and really hard to break through.
Exactly. And that's what defense in depth is all about.
It makes sense, but it also sounds pretty complex. How do companies even begin to put all of this together?
It takes careful planning for sure and expertise. But the big takeaway is that good security isn't about finding a single solution. It's about understanding the risks and building a plan that addresses all of them with multiple layers of protection.
And like you said, it's an ongoing process. The threats are always changing, so you have to adapt. Right,
it's exactly it. Technology evolves, attacker tactics evolve, so you always have to be learning and adapting to stay ahead.
So to wrap up our deep dive here, what's the most important thing you want our listeners to remember?
Remember that cybersecurity isn't just about technology. It's about people and processes, and it's about being proactive. It's about making smart decisions every day, both online and offline, to protect yourself and your information.
That's a great message. Really puts things in perspective. Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your knowledge. It's been enlightening.
The pleasure was all mine. Always happy to talk cybersecurity.
And to our listeners, thank you for diving deep with us. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay secure.